Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's COVID-19 contact tracing and how does it work? Let's go in-depth with Kim Dorn with Marion County Public Health. Kim, how does contact tracing work when somebody has COVID-19?
How that works is we get notification from the state through the Iowa Disease Surveillance System, or what we shortcut, we call it IDES system. And so that provides an email to me and a few other people here in Marion County Public Health that we have a case to follow up on. And so then we go into that case and we check to see, are they Marion County resident, and get some basic information. And then the contact tracer, it gets assigned out to a contact tracer, and that person calls the person who's the positive result. And they talk to them about the isolation period and when their symptoms started. And they do all the math work as far as how long do they need to stay isolated and when are they going to be released. And then we call them the day before the release date to find out how they're doing, make sure that they are their symptoms are better. They have to be 10 days and one day of no fever without fever reducing, and then they can be released. At that same phone call at the beginning, we talk to them about all of their contacts. And so we find out when their symptoms started. And then we go 2 days before that, or 48 hours to be precise, 48 hours before their symptoms started. And we take names and telephone numbers so that we can contact those people and let them know that they've been exposed. And then we ask them to quarantine, and we tell them what to look for as far as symptoms that if they get symptoms, what they need to look for and what to do if they get symptoms.
And so are people pretty good about telling you who they've been in contact with?
It's kind of a mixed bag. We have some people who are very, very good. And then we've had people who have just refused, just absolutely refused to give us any names. And that's why you'll hear us say occasionally, nobody's in trouble. We just want to reduce the spread or keep COVID from spreading any further. And we have to have that information in order to make those phone calls so that we don't have more spread.
I guess I don't get it. If I have it, I want the people that I've been in contact to be able to take the right precautions.
I agree. It would make sense to me, but some people it doesn't make sense to. And so they don't want us to know. So we try to be really clear about that there's nobody in trouble. This is nobody's fault. We really just want to help reduce the spread. And by doing good contact tracing and making sure that people know that they need to, you know, they, part of the problem is they don't want to quarantine because they don't feel bad when you're, so you've been exposed, you have a 14-day incubation period. So you're home, basically home or away from people for 14 days when you really feel pretty fine. And we see that same thing with people who have COVID and they feel fine. They're not the ones who get really sick. If they happen to be asymptomatic, they have a hard time with wanting to stay home for 10 days also because they feel fine.
It's not convenient.
Correct. It's not convenient.
But it protects everybody.
It does. You know, that's the whole purpose of contact tracing and isolation and quarantine is to protect the public from having spread. So if we ask you, we're not going to ask people to isolate or quarantine if we don't really have to. And that's why we really discourage other people from just kind of deciding for themselves how long they should isolate or quarantine. because there's a lot of nuances to it, and we don't want to keep people home any longer than they need to be, but we want them to be home when they need to be.
Okay, well, it's easy to convince me. I know three people who have died of COVID.
Right.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Kim Dorn with Marion County Public Health. So let's move on to how do you track this? I mean, we get the numbers, the number of the cases, the number of deaths, nursing homes. How is this all tracked? And it seems to change every once in a while. Can you tell us about that?
The tracking of the numbers is just really difficult. And it's difficult for people on the outside of the system, so to speak, to understand, because the state site tracks their numbers differently than how we track them. So the state site, they go strictly by positives. So if you test positive, they count you. And it's based on testing. But we found a hiccup in that this last week where people had tested previously and they tested negative. And so when they went in and tested again and tested positive, those results didn't come to us. Normally the results, they test, the positives and negatives come to us. The system didn't recognize that person the second time and didn't send those results to us. So we had quite a few cases of positives that had not been followed up on because we didn't know that they existed.
Because of a glitch in the state.
Because of a glitch in the system. Yeah.
The system.
Yeah.
All right. So what that's going to look like is all of a sudden a one day really big increase. It's going to look like an outbreak.
It could. The staff is still working through those. We've had about 59 in that category. And so it could look like we have a bump here in the next few days, but we don't know how many of them are old enough that they will go on and go off in the same day. It might be that we call some of those people and we find out when their symptoms started and they're already through their 10-day period and they're feeling fine. And so they won't show up other than on the positive total, but they won't show up on the new case total. So those numbers are never going to hitch. Because they're always moving.
And people are coming off and other people are coming on. One person might have tested negative and now they're positive and you didn't learn of that.
Right.
Okay. It's,
so people tend to think, oh, well, we had 5 cases yesterday and 10 cases today, so there should be 15 cases. It's not that straightforward, because sometimes the system doesn't get it to us in time for that, and so they're on and off in the same day. So they show up in the the total, the grand total, but they don't show up in the day because they're on and off all in one day.
All right, so we'll just watch this and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And if we need to talk again, we'll talk again.
Right. Our numbers are going down. You know, other than this little hiccup, our numbers are getting better. You know, last week we were at 100 or so total active cases. Today we're at 80. But then we've got this other group that are sitting over here getting worked. So as the staff works through them, they'll either show up on that 80 and it'll go up, or, you know, if they're old enough, they won't show up on that 80. They'll just go to the grand total.
Okay, we'll talk more.
Yeah.
Now, every once in a while I'll hear somebody will tell me there's cases in long-term care facilities. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are cases there, but it doesn't constitute an outbreak unless there are 3 cases in long-term right?
Correct. There has to be three cases that are residents of long-term care. So it does not include if there's a staff person or anything like that. So it's got to be a resident. So there's got to be three cases inside of a long-term care. And long-term care is defined as nursing home level of care. So if there are cases in assisted living, that's not part of that long-term care definition. So people might be expecting that there would be an outbreak, but it depends on who's sick or who's positive in and what level of care they're in.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kim Dorn with Marion County Public Health. Are there any places that are hotspots?
That are hotspots?
Well,
a hotspot is a really it's not very well defined for me. I need help. I need help with defining that better.
How about just places where you're concerned? One location, one workplace, one long-term care facility. Well, there's not one there because otherwise it'd be identified.
It would be identified, right?
But any place.
I really feel like we've had a couple of places that went through some difficulty. One was a school district, but I think they're back. They're getting back into the swing. So I think they're doing okay. We had kind of a bump in cases in August, and those are pretty well resolved. But I wouldn't say that we have any hot spots right now or any one place that we're terribly concerned. We are following some that, you know, the thing is if there are a group of cases in one entity, whether it be a business or a long-term care or any place, we pay attention to that and we work with that entity and do testing and talk with them about what can you do in your workplace or in this facility to get this, make sure it doesn't spread any further. So we do that with schools, we do it with businesses, we do it with long-term cares, we do it with assisted living, all of those different groups. We've got some that we're working with, but we don't have any that I'm really, really concerned at this point. That doesn't mean that I won't have concerns tomorrow.
Well, if you do, we'll talk.
It just depends on, yeah. I mean, we're always doing testing and we're always finding cases, so it just kind of depends.
Now, real quick, the races, the last race at the track before the season ended, there was, you know, some racing crews that left saying that they got COVID.
They were positive.
But that didn't make a lot of sense to me because...
Well, we don't know that they didn't have it before they got here.
Right, and one of them announced it on Sunday, and then, well, anyway, it's just
so
it wasn't great news coming out of the track, and I guess I'm looking for what's really happened out of the racing events.
Well, if an entity announced it on Sunday, that would mean that they had been tested. It usually took about a couple days, at least 2 days, to get results back. So that would mean that they would have had to have been tested that previous Thursday or Friday, which means that they must have thought they had it before that, or that it became clear that they had symptoms that Thursday or Friday in order to be able to announce it on that Sunday. So I can't say whether they got it here or whether they brought it in with them or what. I have no idea, but I can say that we did have a bump after nationals. I want to say the racetrack worked really, really hard to make sure that social distancing was planned out and that people did that in the stands. And I had heard a lot of discussion about, well, you know, I got over here in this seat and I wasn't supposed to be there, and somebody came and asked me to go back to my seat. So I think the racetrack did a really nice job, but it tended to be more around the unstructured activities that go along with the races.
Sure. Okay, and you're doing some changing on the testing?
We did do some changing on the testing. After the races, we got very, very, we tested a lot of people. Just because of there was so much concern about having been at the races and the information that was out about race teams that had it and others who had it. So we got pretty pretty liberal with doing testing. But we get our tests from the State Hygienic Lab, and they have rules about who we can test and who we can't. And so we have tightened that back down to fit within those rules. So we're over the bump that we saw in cases. And so things are heading the right direction. But yeah, if now people who want to get tested and call here, they need to have been exposed. They need to be able to tell us who they were exposed to. They need to be able to tell us what their symptoms are. And then we'll make the decision of whether they were able to test them or not based on the SHL rules.
Because we don't have infinite numbers of tests.
No, we don't. No. And there's, you know, there's sometimes groups that we need to test. So we need to keep some test kits for groups and such. And those tests then, the results of those tests affect that 14-day rolling percentage that is very confusing to people. Our percentage now is below the 15 mark, but that's a very important number. But we had gotten up there in the 17.23.
Right.
Yeah. And part of that number is it's about the ratio between positives and negatives. So the more testing you do, the higher your number is likely to be. And it also depends on how tightly you're interpreting those rules from SHL. So if you do more testing of people who are asymptomatic but just concerned, then that number is going to go down because people are less likely to have it. But if you're interpreting it pretty tightly and only doing testing of people who are symptomatic and they can name who I was in contact with that was positive, then that number could go back up. And so, but that's not based on just the tests that Marion County Public Health does. And that seems to be something that people are confused about because they want to know how many tests are done each day. We have people who are following those test numbers that we put on that website. Those aren't just Marion County Public Health's numbers. Those are the numbers from Marion County Public Health, from Pella Hospital, from Knoxville, from places in Des Moines, from some of the non-traditional testing places that have popped up. And so people call here and say, well, how many tests did you do? And it's not going to match that number.
We've been doing this for months and months and months.
Yeah.
How are you and your staff holding up?
We're doing very well. Our staff, I just don't even have the words to tell you how proud I am of the staff. They have worked 7 days a week throughout this whole thing. We have been able to find breaks for people. So I've been able to let them go on vacation and things like that. And they really needed to be able to do that so that they could refresh a little bit because, you know, working 7 days a week for months is tiring. And so I'm exceptionally proud of how hard they're working and how they're handling the questions and how they're handling the contact tracing. And, you know, sometimes they get people who are very thankful during the contact tracing and sometimes not so much. And they've done a great job of handling it all.
Thanks to Kim Dorn for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.